Well, we appreciate you being here this morning. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. For the last two Sunday mornings, we've been looking at the stark contrast between two trees that are mentioned in Scripture that stand out more than all the rest of the trees and really have had more of an impact on all of mankind than any and all other trees combined. And of course, these two trees that stand in contrast to each other are the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the cross of Christ. And this is the final message that we're going to be preaching on this. In the first two messages, we looked at two contrasts. First of all, we saw in the first message, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree forbidden for mankind. And then we saw the cross of Christ is a tree required for mankind. And then we saw that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a place of death, talking about spiritual death, physical death, and even eternal death. But the cross of Christ is a place of life. Spiritual life here and now, physical life hereafter, and eternal life both here and hereafter. Amen. We have eternal life as a present possession that we have. So we spent a message on each of the first two contrasts, but this morning we're going to look at five more contrasts between these two trees as we wrap up this subject. Let's begin by reading our passage of Scripture that is our basis for the message, and that is Genesis 2, verse number 16 and 17. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." This morning I want us to understand that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree where man could not freely eat. He was not free to eat of it at all. There was a price to be paid for eating of that tree, and it's a great price. I wonder, have you ever done something and the moment you did it, it came back to bite you and you wish you could go back and do a redo? We all have, haven't we? If only Adam and Eve could have had a redo, I'm sure they would have loved to have that, but there is no redo. Mankind's eating of that tree was in conflict with the commandments of God, the commandment of God. People today, understand, are still in conflict with the commandments of God. But it's because of the sin that we have within. It's because of what happened here that we are in conflict with the commandment of God. And mankind's eating of that tree was in conflict with the provision of God. God was so gracious in the abundance that He provided mankind with all the other trees. He could freely eat, but just this one tree. It was in conflict with the provision of God. Mankind's eating of that tree was in conflict with the will of God. This was a matter of what God said, what God's will is, versus what man decided to do, what Eve wanted. She saw it, looked good. She said, "It looks like it'd be good to eat." And she took it and ate and gave to her husband. And we plunged us into this mess that we called sin. And it's great that we have a Savior. Amen. When mankind disobeys the Lord and partakes in the acts of sin today, he is still in conflict with all three of those things. Listen, our sin is in conflict with the commandments of God. They just are. God calls sin is still sin. Doesn't matter what the government says, what they voted that it's okay, this is okay now. It's not okay with God. If God calls an abomination, it's still an abomination. And when we sin, it flies in the face of holy God. No matter who sins, it flies in the face of holy God. And God still asks the question that He asked Adam when Adam was hiding himself there in the Garden of Eden from the Lord. And the Lord said, "Where art thou?" And remember, we said that He asked that question not because He didn't know where man was, but it was because He wanted man to see where his sin had taken him. And listen, God still asked the question, "Where art thou?" through the preaching of his word, so that we might recognize the egregious nature of our sin and what sin is doing to us. You know, God doesn't give us commandments in order to be an ogre. You know, it's for our good that he commands certain things and denies us certain things to get involved with. Our sin is in conflict with the provision of God. Though we have no personal righteousness, God has provided His righteousness for us in His Son, and He invites us to eat there. And I'm getting ahead of myself right there with that one. We'll touch on a little more on that in just a moment. But also, our sin is in conflict with the will of God for us. God places limits on mankind for mankind's own good. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11 says, and this is the Lord speaking, He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know that God wants what's best for you and me today? He does. And He's provided a great provision for us to have His best. And that brings us to the contrast here. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was the tree where man could not freely eat. But the cross of Christ is a man where man, the cross of Christ is a tree where man may freely eat. He may freely eat. The Bible reveals to us that God planned man's salvation before creation. Look at Ephesians and chapter number 1. Ephesians and chapter number 1. God planned salvation even before man sinned the very first sin. You say, "Well, I don't understand that." Well, that's because you're not God, okay? We're not Him. And God can do with His creation what He wants to do with it. It's His. God can do with His universe what He desires to do. But God made a provision even before man sinned in the Garden of Eden. And we find that here in Ephesians 1. Look at verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Notice, in Christ. The blessings come in Christ. "According as He hath chosen us in Him," chosen us in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us," notice this, "He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." I'm accepted before God this morning because of Jesus, not because of Jerry, okay? I would not be accepted in my own self. I am accepted because I am in Christ. It says there, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So the Bible reveals here to us that God planned man's salvation, and that happened before the creation. And that doesn't mean that God arbitrarily chooses who will be saved or who will be lost. Don't be mistaken. Don't misunderstand the Word of God. John 3:16-18 is still in Scripture. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And you know, that's why we take the gospel to the world. Because whosoever believes can be saved. That's why we send missionaries around the world. That's why we are to share the gospel. It says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." God is very clear. Salvation is through Christ alone, in Him and Him alone. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 through 6, that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, He have all men to be saved. Would have all men to come. Who gave Himself a ransom for all. There's not a person in here that God did not die for. There's not a person in the world that God did not die for. In His Son Jesus Christ. Listen. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. Those that teach that God has selected some folks to be saved and some to be lost, they don't know what that word all means. Okay? I mean, what the Bible means what it says. All means all, and that's all that all means. God knows the future, and so He knows all who will receive His offer of salvation through His Son. I want you to understand that word predestination that some folks like to throw around. It is a Bible word, but it's based on God's foreknowledge and has more to do with what a believer is predestined to than who is predestinated. Okay? And that's proved in Romans 8:29. It says, "For whom He did foreknow," and it says God knew ahead of time who would trust His Son, "whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." So if you're saved this morning, guess what God's will for your life is? It's to be conformed to the image of His Son. Every person that's saved, that's God's will for your life. Aren't you glad that God's salvation is to whosoever will? I'd hate to think that I could have been left out. You know? Think about that. I'm not left out. In fact, I can come and freely, and I did come one day and freely partake. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And Revelation 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit," who's the Spirit? Holy Spirit. "The Spirit and the Bride." Who's the Bride? The church. "The Spirit and the Bride say, come." That's what's happening right now. You know? God's Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He uses us as believers to share the gospel of Christ. And He brings forth conviction. And we tell folks, you need to come to Jesus. If you don't have Jesus this morning, I invite you to come to Him. You need Him in your life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You can take it freely. And I love the passage in John 6:37 where Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Come to Jesus. Yeah, I've heard folks say, "Well, you know, I don't believe that the Lord can forgive me of my sin. The number of sins that I've done or the egregious nature of the sins that I've done, I don't think the Lord could forgive me of those." But you know, Christ died for them all. He died for us all. And we just need to come to Him. A fourth contrast. Tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree that Satan desired man to partake of, and God didn't. Okay? Satan, of course, used his subtlety. That tree was in harmony with Satan's character. Satan, through the serpent, was subtle. That word subtle means sly. He was cunning. He was crafty. And he got Eve looking at the fruit's good points. It was pleasant to the eyes. It looked like it would taste good. And, of course, he lied to her. He lied to her. He said, "Thou shalt not surely die." What did God say? God said, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And he went in direct opposite to what God had said. Satan is all about disobedience and defiance of God. This tree was in harmony with Satan's will to be like God. We know that in Isaiah 14:13-14, it reveals to us the nature of Satan. For he said, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That was Satan's desire from the very beginning. When Satan got Eve to listen to him rather than the Lord, it was really kind of an in-your-face to God. That's what it was. But now the Lord is making a way, has made a way, and He's calling folks to be reconciled to Him. The cross of Christ is a tree that God desires man to partake of, and Satan doesn't. You know, Satan will do anything he can to keep you from getting saved. He wants to keep you distracted and deceived, and he wants to keep your loved ones distracted and deceived. Anybody that's lost in this world, that's what he's all about. You got plenty of time. Don't worry about that. You can get saved one day, but that one day never comes. They wind up dying in their sin and going to the devil's hell. John chapter number 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And as Jesus was speaking those words, and you know, from our time that we spent in the Gospel of John, which by the way, I plan on getting back to, Lord willing, next week. We'll get back in our series on the Gospel of John. We just took a little diversion for a few weeks. And we know that the Lord wanted even the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees to come. And He continually invited them to come, but they would not. In fact, He told them in John 5, verse 40, He says, you will not come to me that you might have life. What was He saying? If you would just come to me, you could have life. He was not withholding life from them. He died for them just the same way He died for us. He died for those that nailed Him on the cross, just as much as He died for anyone. Satan will go to great lengths, though, to keep people from partaking of the Lord's salvation. Christ wants you to partake today. It's God's desire for man to partake, but Satan doesn't want you to. Here's a fifth thing. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree that was pleasant to the senses. We know because it tells us here in Genesis 3 and verse number 6, says, and the woman saw that it was a tree, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Those three avenues you'll find right there in Genesis 3 and verse number 6. And Satan still uses those avenues today. He uses those three things. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Satan always gets us looking at sin's good points. You notice how, of course, we don't watch a lot anymore of the stuff that's on television, mostly just Wheel of Fortune, and about ready to start turning it off because of the wickedness there that's going on. And I already flipped Jeopardy off the two weeks back because of the host that they were having, the host that just living in violation of God's commands. And so, you know, I just really don't want to be a part of this. But on, you know how in TV programs, or you can notice, even if you don't watch the programs, you can see on the advertisements and things, and you can understand it. With alcohol, Satan wants you to see the relaxation and forgetting your troubles. He wants you to see the fun. But he don't want you to see in the chain of addiction. He don't want you to see the broken homes and destroyed lives. That's not what he wants you to see. With drugs, he wants you to feel the high, the good moments, versus the robbing you of your freedom, your wealth, your health, and your dignity. With immorality, he'll say it's your body. Everybody's doing it. It feels good. It's fun. Versus disease, unwanted pregnancy, destroyed lives. He just points out sin's good points. He didn't show you the end nature. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree that was pleasant to the senses. The cross of Christ, though, is a tree that is repugnant to the senses. A lot of people are repulsed by the cross. They don't understand why the cross had to be. And when you put yourself at the scene of the cross, you see the gory death of our Savior. Blood had to be shed. And I don't think there was a type of injury that wasn't inflicted on our Lord. He was inflicted in just about every way that He could be afflicted. We not only see the gory death of our Savior, we hear the cry of death from our Savior. As the wages of sin was being paid for, He cried out to His Heavenly Father, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And then He cried with a loud voice, it is finished. You smell the stench of the blood and the death that was there that day. That was a place of death. That's where they carried out crucifixions. It was a garbage heap, is what it was. And it was not pleasant to the senses. And a lot of folks, as I said, they're repulsed by the bloody religion. But can I tell you, it still takes the blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. You must have the blood of Christ. We see also, number six, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a place of separation from God for man. Man was separated. And man separated himself from God first by sinning, but also by trying to hide from God, which is kind of ludicrous, don't you think? Where are you going to hide from God? People think they're hiding from God when they do their wickedness in the dark or behind closed doors. Listen, everything's naked and open in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It's a place of separation. Man was separated from God. The cross of Christ, though, I want you to see is a place of reconciliation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And this is the last place I'll have you turn. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians 5, and we see in verse number 18, it talks about this reconciliation that was made by the Lord on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Listen, Jesus took what rightfully was ours. The death. He took our death. He took our suffering. The pain and suffering that we should have had. It says there in verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that's the good news of the gospel. You know, yes, you're a sinner, and you're worthy of dying for your sins. You're worthy of being in yourself, of separated forever from God in the place called hell. But God made it where you didn't have to do that. He's made it where you don't have to do that. You can live for all eternity with Him. You can have life now and forever by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ is that place of reconciliation. Now, last of all, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a place of nakedness. We know, as soon as Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, they knew they were naked. Yeah, mankind was stripped of his innocence. And then mankind was also stripped of his righteousness. You talk about totally naked. No clothes and no righteousness. That's completely naked before God. But the cross of Christ is a place of clothing the believer in the righteousness of Christ, which was pictured there in the garden when the Lord took and made them coats of skin to cover their nakedness. Made coats of skin, meaning that that animal had to die. But here in this passage where we're at, 2 Corinthians 5:21, this is what it pictured. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made Jesus to be sin for us. That meant He took our death. He didn't know any sin of His own. He was sinless, the perfect sinless Son of God. But He did that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a trade, huh? What a trade. He took our sin, we get His righteousness. We're clothed in His righteousness. So, in conclusion here, the tree of knowledge is a living tree that brought forth death. The cross of Christ is a dying tree that brought forth life. So that tree was cut down. It was made into a cross. It was dying as our Savior was dying on the cross. The tree of knowledge is a place of disobedience unto death. The cross of Christ is a place of obedience unto life. Romans 5:19 says, "Wherefore, as by one man's disobedience," talking about Adam, "many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one," speaking of Christ, "shall many be made righteous." Listen, Jesus did what Adam did not do, and what we could not do because of our position of being in Adam. We can't be righteous. See, you're not only a sinner by nature this morning, you're a sinner by choice. You choose to sin. We all have chosen to sin. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He's the only one who fully obeyed His Father. So in the last 3 weeks, we've seen these seven contrasts between these two trees. We all came into this world. We all are partakers of that first tree. He said, "Well, I wasn't there. I didn't partake of it. You partook of it in Adam." Okay? We're partakers of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And all that we've seen that it brought on us by our being in Adam. I mean, we've seen that. There's no need denying it. Scripture records it. And our sin nature proves it. Those who have believed on Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross have been made partakers of the cross of Christ and all that it purchased on our behalf. Amen. And again, Scripture records it, and God cannot lie. We have salvation in Christ Jesus. If you haven't come to Christ, become a partaker of His cross today. If you have come to Christ, seek to live your life for Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with Him in glory." I believe we're on the threshold of the Lord coming again. I really do. Are you living for Him? Are you going to be ashamed that it's coming? Walk in the Spirit so you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's what Paul told the Galatian church in Galatians 5:16. Let's pray. If you don't know Jesus this morning, come to Him. We're going to have a hymn of invitation and play a song. I'll be down front to receive you if you come. Just come to me. We'll have someone deal with you from Scripture, show you how you can be saved. If you are saved, He did so much for you. What are you doing for Him? Let's pray. Father, we just thank